Darla is a citizen of the world. She's been around the block quite a few times.
Thank you, Ray. It really is a pleasure to be able to share some of the things that IMA learned as IMA went from a procurement and shipping and distribution organization to a public health organization over its span of 50 years. Let's see. So IMA was established in 1960 and in the mid-90s started public health work in the neglected tropical diseases area. Our former president had great interest in working on the NTDs and started the organization on that. It was put together by six Protestant denominations in the United States, and today we have 12 members. Again, mostly the Protestant denominations and some other organizations who have become IMA's member organizations. Our areas of strength are health system strengthening from facility to the community in a given country. We focus mostly on post-conflict countries. Don't ask me why, but that's where IMA likes to work, and that's where we go. So we are in DR Congo, South Sudan, Haiti, and then in Tanzania, where there is peace most of the time. We work on neglected tropical diseases, HIV, AIDS, malaria, and we also have developed a lot of expertise in health management information systems. And in some countries like South Sudan and DR Congo, we have pioneered that, and the Ministry of Health has adopted the system for national rollout. We also believe in capacity building of local organizations, and especially the Christian health associations in Africa. And we continue to do procurement, shipping, and emergency relief, and support other organizations for emergency relief. Going back to our work in health system strengthening, as we worked in countries from the facility to the community level, one thing became very, very clear to us, that we were totally missing very prominent leaders in the community and leaders with whom IMA as a faith-based organization should have automatically connected and worked with. And that led us to thinking when IMA was a sub for a global project on maternal child health, that we really needed to bring the religious leaders to promote better health and welfare of mothers and children. And we used that as a community mobilization, community development piece, and developed the first sermon guide that was paid for of all organizations, USAID. So we actually developed those. And the person who actually worked with me in writing and pulling these together sits here, Kathy Erb. And so we were a great partnership. Both were learning. Both were reading the Bible and the Quran, because she also helped us edit. The Muslim guide was written by Muslim religious leaders, but we needed to edit it to make sure that the language and the flow was consistent. Once that was developed, we started working in Rwanda, and the Ministry of Health showed a lot of interest. And so the Interfaith Coalition in Rwanda and the Ministry of Health came together, and they developed a maternal child health sermon guide, both for the Muslims and the Christians, in Kinyi, Rwanda. And that exists and is being used in Rwanda even to this day. It was developed in 2007. One of a very interesting piece that emerged in that process was that they wanted one, so that the Muslims can read what the Christians are saying and the Christians could read what the Muslims are saying. But they didn't want one to be the first book and the other to be the second. So we came up where if you can flip it, each one is the first. Okay. So that was, you know, these were the brainchilds that we used to come up with to fulfill the desires of the people. And then we moved on and we developed one in Swahili in Tanzania, which has been rolled out, and that's the one I'm going to share some results from. And since then we have developed on malaria. We are in the process of developing and finalizing one on family planning and water and sanitation. And we just launched one on sexual and gender-based violence. And that one is really focused on the United States community for advocacy so that people will not keep quiet but will speak out. And it follows our coalition we are trying to put together that we will speak out against gender-based violence. So that's about the maternal child health pieces. In Tanzania, these two guides were developed with the Ministry of Health, with the Tanzania Episcopal Council, the Christian Council of Tanzania, the Pentecostal Council of Tanzania, and the National Muslim Council, BAKWATA, of Tanzania. So you can see how diverse the religious groups were. They all came together, and they sat together, discussed, and they developed the Christian and the Muslim guides. And the Ministry of Health people from the reproductive unit were consistently with this process. And these were then approved by the USAID mission and the Ministry of Health and rolled out in several districts in Tanzania. What are the messages? Importance of antenatal care, malaria prevention while pregnant, birth preparedness, birth spacing, again, going back to family planning, so birth spacing, importance of family and community support for the woman and her family as she goes through pregnancy. Importance of skilled attendant for delivery, whether it's at home or in a health center. Importance of breastfeeding, infection protection, HIV/AIDS testing and care, good nutrition for both mother and child, and the importance of immunization of children. So these messages, and we took these and then look for scriptural verses that basically promote them. And it is fascinating if you go through the Bible and the Quran, how similar many of these teachings are. And every time I have gone through that process from 2005 onwards as I started working on these, is for the life of me, I cannot understand why we have religious conflict and religious wars, because the teachings are so similar. And so I always say it's not the religions that make us fight, it is us, the human beings, who misinterpret and misrepresent. The Tanzania Maternal Child Health Sermon Guides reach. 9 national trainers were trained. 2 from the Ministry of Health and Social Welfare, from the Muslim group, IMA, and 1 each from the Catholic Church, the Christian Council of Tanzania, and the Pentecostal. And they went out and they trained 300 religious leaders in 6 different districts in Tanzania. And these 300 religious leaders reached over 86,000 individuals in these 6 districts. Not by going house to house, but through the sermons on Sundays, through the mosques, through the women's groups in the Muslim community, as well as the Christian community. And once that process was completed, we basically asked the religious leaders to keep track on which message they shared on which Sunday. So they could actually tell us that over the last 3 months, they were able to use 4 messages, or some religious leaders actually used 6 messages. And one of the report back was that it was so useful for them because many times they were thinking, what should I preach on? And they would say, oh, I have a sermon guide. I can get some ideas for this Sunday. So it made their preparation for a particular Sunday actually much easier because they could go back and use these sermon starters, is what we call the sermon guide. We went back and did with 230 people focus group discussions to find out how helpful these sermons from the pulpits were, how helpful were the sharing to the women's groups or the youth groups. And when we looked at that, it was very clear that in all of those five districts, the Christians and the Muslims, there was very close to both males and females who had actually learned from these messages that came from the pulpits in these groups. Okay. What did they learn about the maternal child health messages? Where? Health facility is the first graph, which is much smaller than the church and the mosques. So you can see how easy it is to reach. And one of the things that's very clear is on a Sunday we have captive audience. So if the pastor or the imam decides to talk about a certain topic, he's got people who listen, who trust him. Okay. 2 minutes. From the focus group, we also found that the religious institutions, which are in purple there, there was a greater reach than through other sources, whether it was for antenatal care, birth spacing. And so as we looked at these findings, we knew it was very clear that using the religious leaders and the religious institutions have a great reach. Testimonials that I would like to share. As I'm pregnant and I'm now attending antenatal clinic after being taught at the church the importance of ANC. I got this education when I was 5 months pregnant and had not gone to the clinic till then. That day I went to the clinic and now I delivered safely. So there is a lot of behavior change that we could already see through these testimonials. A father. I like the message on family planning because I realized that women who deliver in healthy intervals of at least 3 years remain healthy and children also grow up well. We are able to improve our economy through working and manage planned family. I like also family planning education because the Holy Quran teaches the importance of spacing children. And it's very clearly stated in the Quran, have only the number of children that you can raise and have them when you can raise them well. So it may not say space or use family planning, but it does give you the same message to do that. Okay. In conclusion, religious leaders are an untapped resource for health promotion. Most communities have a religious leader or leaders. Religious leaders are trusted and their teachings are adhered to by their congregants. Most religious leaders are willing to learn about issues that can help their congregants' life and well-being. Thank you.